Thank you, Brady. If you have a Bible, if you would please turn to Acts chapter 26. We're going to look a little bit further from the passage that Sam read to us a few moments ago. As he read about the account in which the Apostle Paul stands before Agrippa with Festus there as well, a little bit later in that reading, I'd like us to notice something that happens and something that Paul says. And we're going to use that as the framework for our lesson this morning. Beginning in verse 24 of Acts chapter 26, let's notice the statement that he makes there. Now, as he thus made his defense, Festus said with a loud voice, "Paul, you are beside yourself. Much learning is driving you mad." But he said, "I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak the words of truth and reason. For the king, before whom I also speak freely, knows these things, for I am convinced that none of these things escapes his attention, since this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you do believe." Then Agrippa said to Paul, "You almost persuade me to become a Christian." And Paul said, "I would to God that not only you, but also all who hear me today might become both altogether, or almost and altogether, such as I am, except for these chains." I call your attention to that statement that he makes there at the end. And I can't help but think that this would have seemed rather strange to the king as a man in chains stands before him. And as he proclaims to him this message, this unusual message about Jesus, he actually says to the king, who holds power over him to some extent, says to him, I wish that you would become such as I am, notice, except for these chains. What is interesting about that is not only is there irony in the fact that we would look at a situation like that and imagine, well, why would Paul say that I wish you were like I am? But we notice the statement he makes there about except for these chains. That's very interesting, because while Paul was literally in physical chains, I'd like to call to your attention for a few moments this morning a number of things about Paul that demonstrate a liberty from bondage that he had that really King Agrippa and Festus did not have as he spoke to them. First of all, I want us to notice that Paul was in a condition in which, even though he was physically in chains, he was free from another type of bondage, and that is the bondage of sin. Go to John chapter 8 with me for a moment. Let's notice something that Jesus teaches us that I'm afraid far too many people in the world don't recognize, and sometimes we as Christians don't recognize the danger from which we fled in coming to Christ. In John chapter 8, beginning in verse 31, let's go down to verse 36. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." We need to recognize, and as we talk to our friends in the world around us, we need to help them recognize that sin, far from the liberating kind of thing that it portrays itself to be, is actually that which enslaves us. It is that which puts us in bondage. And that's true for a number of reasons, not only when we're talking about those things that by their very nature become addictive. You know, you think about the one who becomes addicted to some action or to some substance. Is it something in which they are free to make the choices that they'd like? No, they very often feel like they have to have that thing. They have to engage in that activity. And so they are in bondage in that way. But even beyond that, we must recognize that when in fact we sin, we are separated from God because of that sin, and we are put in a condition in which our relationship with Him is severed. Our relationship with Him has enslaved us to sin and to Satan, and we have a fate that awaits us in such a condition from which we need to be free. We need to recognize also that when one is obedient to the gospel, there is liberty. Even though Paul stood before Agrippa in chains of the flesh, He was not enchained when it comes to sin. The way in which one can be freed from sin lies only in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Go with me to Romans chapter 6, and I'd like us to look at a couple of passages there. First, in Romans chapter 6, let's start in verse 17. And I want us to notice, you know, this is so different from the picture that so many in the world have of what it means to be a Christian. You want to be a Christian? You want to have people tell you what to do all the time? You want the Bible to restrict your behavior so you can't just do your own thing? That's sadly the way so many people see it. Listen to what Paul says through the Holy Spirit, beginning in verse 17. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I want us to notice that idea there. It is not that, well, if I don't serve God, I'm free to do whatever I want to do. If I don't serve God, I'm enslaved. But I'm enslaved to sin. But it is only in coming to Christ that one actually can be liberated from that. And when, in fact, we are set free from sin, we are set free from the consequences of sin as well, particularly spiritual death. Go down just a few verses to verse 21, and let's notice as Paul continues, he asks the question, but what fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit in holiness and the end, everlasting life. You know, it may be that as we think about this, we might ideally say, well, I'd rather not be enslaved to anyone. Well, the fact of the matter is that you can't live in a condition in which you won't have service, responsibility, even bondage to someone. Wouldn't it be much better to be in bondage to a master that is loving, a master that cares for us, a master that in fact will offer to us eternal life, rather than, as he asks the question here, what's the benefit? What fruit comes from living in sin? You think about the one that gives themselves to sin continually. Are they the happy people of the world? Are they the ones who find peace and contentment? No, so often lives are destroyed because of sin. So Paul, even though he stood in chains of the flesh, he was free from bondage to sin. But also he was free in another way, and that is he was free from the guilt of his past. You know, Paul, we are told in Scripture, had a past for which there were many things that he could feel ashamed. Go back to Acts chapter 26, and I want us to notice in this passage, as Sam read for us, listen to what verses 9 through 11 tell us. Acts chapter 26, beginning in verse 9, says, indeed, I myself thought I must do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. This I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. Notice that idea. And continuing in verse 11, it says, and I punished them often in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly enraged against them, I persecuted them, even to foreign cities. So have you ever done anything in your life that the memory of the fact that you have done that just lingers with you? It just seems to haunt every thing that you try to do. You may try to put it behind you and do better in the future, but it just seems to be that you can't ever really put it behind you. Don't you wonder how often Paul struggled with that? Because he certainly, even though he went on to teach the gospel, can't you imagine how it haunted him that notices it puts it there in the last verse of our reading? He compelled people to blaspheme. Look over in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 13. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 13. But you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. Now, what horrible memories Paul must have had. But you know, one of the things that we recognize, all human beings have those things that they have done or said in their life that they regret. But if, in fact, we are without Christ, what can you do about those things? You can't rewind the clock. You can't take them back. You may be able to apologize. You may be able to make some kind of restitution in some cases. But you can't ever fully wipe the slate clean unless you're in Christ. You know, Paul could be free from his past sins. Look over in the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 8. And I say that he could be free because of something that we are promised about the new covenant. And as a messenger of the new covenant, the Apostle Paul shared the benefits that all of us can enjoy. Those things that haunt us, those things that we wish that we could put from our life, we can in Christ. Because under the new covenant, God promises this, Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more." What a beautiful thing that is a promise of the gospel. Where else can such be found? Paul could be freed from his guilt of the past, but that is only something that he could attain, only something that he could feel in coming to Christ. Go with me to Philippians chapter 3. Paul could leave behind all of that which had once identified him, all of that which once had been an indication of his rebellion against God. He didn't have to keep hanging on to it. He didn't have to keep remembering over and over those things that he felt bad about. He could trust that God had forgiven. And so in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13, he writes this, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." It is only in Christ that we are put in a position in which it's not that we ignore that we ever did anything wrong, but we can actually look at that and have the assurance that it's taken care of. It is forgiven. It is put behind us. Because look at another statement Paul makes through the Holy Spirit in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. You know, we sometimes wish, as in games that you might play or sports, you know, when you make a wrong hit or you do something that you ask for, could I have a do-over? You know, sometimes in life we wish we could have a do-over. There is nothing in life that really can offer that in a true and genuine sense except the gospel. Because as 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 teaches, when one is obedient to the gospel, when one comes to Christ, those past sins that they've committed, it's not that they're still there. It's not that they're still lingering there. If the Hebrew writer writes to us that those things are forgiven, he remembers them no more. Listen to what Paul says here in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Paul was in chains physically, but Paul had been able to start over spiritually. And so Paul was free from the guilt of his past. One final thing that I'd like to offer to us, and then the lesson will be yours, is Paul also was free from uncertainty. You know, it's evident as we read there in Acts chapter 26, when Agrippa says, "You almost persuade me to become a Christian." He's uncertain, isn't he? He's not really sure what he ought to do. You know, it amazes me how so many people in the world around us live their lives content with uncertainty. I really don't know what I ought to do. You know, I don't know if this is the best thing, but I know I don't want to be a Christian. I know I want to follow that Bible. You know, how can it be that there is any peace that we can have in a sense of uncertainty? One thing we could say about Paul is, having come to Christ, having been freed from sin, having been set free from the guilt of his past, he was a man that could live with certainty. And that certainty was not found in his own heart. It was not found in his own creativity and mind. It was found and grounded in the Word of God. It is God's Word, as the psalmist will tell us in Psalm 119, verse 105, that gives us light. Remember what this beautiful passage that focuses on the Word of God tells us? Psalm 119, look up at verse 105. "Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." It is God's Word, as we read in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14, that gives us that goal, that purpose to strive towards. Look with me back at that passage, Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14. Notice, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And I want us to notice a little bit beyond what we read, verse 17, Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. It is only in the Word of God that we really have a pattern to follow. You know, it's interesting because people in the world will look to patterns. How often do you see little kids that want to imitate some celebrity? How often do you see kids in school that think, well, this musician or this actor or this actress, that I want to follow them? You know, if they look very closely at their lives, they'll find that, in fact, there's not much of a pattern to follow there in many cases, sadly. But in Christ, we have patterns to follow. The pattern ultimately that rests in Jesus Christ, but also in those who followed Him. Notice in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 17, brethren, join in following my example. You remember, Paul would say on occasion, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Join in following my example. And note those who walk as you have us for a pattern. You know, what a wonderful thing it is that we don't have to go through life wondering, well, what should I do? How should I live? That's an uncertain feeling. Paul was freed from that. And it is in Christ that we can find that the Word of God gives our life meaning and purpose. Let's end with Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. So many people go through their lives just kind of stumbling around. You know, they feel as if their whole sum of their existence is all about getting things, getting up in the morning, eating their food, whatever it may be. Yet there is more to our existence than that. We have purpose. I want you to notice one thing that's stated about this purpose in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. We were put here for a purpose. And that purpose is that we might serve our God and glorify Him. Everything else is futile. Everything else is just scratching in the dust. But in Christ, we have purpose. Paul was set free from sin. He was set free from the guilt of his past. And he was set free from uncertainty. What about you? Are you in bondage this morning? Maybe there's emotional turmoil that you feel. Maybe there's some hardship that you're facing in your life. It can't be that coming to Christ will necessarily take away every difficulty, but I'll tell you what, the biggest difficulty that can be taken away is that burden and bondage to sin. Would you not be freed this morning from sin? Put your faith in Jesus as the Son of God. Confess that faith before men. Repent and turn from sin that separates you from God. Be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. And you, like Paul, you may have some chains in your life of hardship and difficulty, but you're free. Won't you come while we stand and sing?